Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Multimedia Department of Markazi Anjuman Khuddamul Quran, Lahore, Pakistan presents a speech of Dr. Israr Ahmed, the founder of Markazi Anjuman Khuddamul Quran, Lahore and Tanzeem-e-Islami, on the topic of What is the Real Good? Now please listen to the speech.
احمده وصلي على رسوله الكريم. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as it has been announced, today I'll try to share with you what I understand from one ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, that is ayat number 177, which can be termed Ayatul Birr. I am going to recite the ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Laysal birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibalal mashriq wal maghrib. Walakinnal birra man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wal malaikati wal kitabi wan nabiyyin wa atal mala ala hubbihi zabil qurba wal yatama wal masakin wabnas sabil was sa'ilin wa firriqab وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه امين يا رب العالمين. Those of you who were present yesterday, and also many other brothers and sisters, know that I have edited and compiled a selected course of study from Quran al-Hakim, which consists of certain surahs and ayat, by which a comprehensive view as to what our deen is, the comprehensive concept of Deenullah, and secondly a comprehensive view regarding our duties as Muslims, that becomes clear. The starting point of that selected course of study in Quran is Surah Al-Asr, which is one of the smallest surahs of Quran, and at the same time the most comprehensive surah of Quran al-Hakim. And this is not a thing that I am saying on my own. As I quoted yesterday, this is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. He has said about Surah Al-Asr, لَوْ تَدَبَّرَ النَّاسُ هَذِهِ السُّورَةَ لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ. And Mufti Muhammad Abduhu has quoted another saying from Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, لَوْ لَمْ يُنَزَّلْ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ سِوَاهَا لَكَفَتِ النَّاسِ. It's such a comprehensive surah of Quran that if people ponder over this surah, they dive deep into the meanings of this surah, Mubarakah, this will suffice them. It will give them the total guidance that they require. The second lesson of that selected course of study consists of this ayah, which I have just recited and you have just listened. I gave a lesson on this ayah in Urdu 2 years back here in this mosque. And the Urdu tape is available, I think. But this time, friends have asked me to speak in English so that our brethren who don't understand Urdu, they can also share of the little that I have from the knowledge of this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now first we should try to translate. I use this expression, try to translate, because what I feel is that it's absolutely impossible to give the exact translation of Qur'an-e-Hakim in any language. Qur'an has its own terminology. Arabic language, Al-Arabiyul Mubin, in which Qur'an was revealed, has its own cultural background. And from that background, the basic terminology of Qur'an has been derived. And for most of the basic terms of Qur'an, I find it nearly impossible to have a full equivalent in English. So I'll try to translate. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Now in the very beginning, this word birr, it's very difficult to give you in one English word the exact essence of the word birr. Righteousness, piety, charity, so many words combined together might give the sense of the word birr. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It is not all charity, all righteousness, that you turn your faces towards east and west. I differ from Mr. Pikthal. He has translated, it is not righteousness. This is different. And I am saying it is not all righteousness. It is included in righteousness. If you have been asked to face towards Qibla, towards Khanai Kaaba in your prayers, well, this is binding. And this becomes a part of righteousness. But it is not all righteousness. So it's not all righteousness or all piety or all charity that you turn your faces towards east and west. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. But the really pious or righteous man is one who believes in Allah or has faith in Allah. Again, the basic term iman cannot be translated either by faith or by belief. But what can we do? We have to be contented with these words. Who have real faith in Allah, who really believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment and the angels and the books, the scriptures and the prophets. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. And he gives away his wealth, his property, his belongings. عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. In spite of the fact that wealth is dear to him. Another translation is possible. They give their wealth due to the love of Allah, by way of Allah's love. But I am preferring the other view and I'll give you the reason afterwards. They give away their wealth, their belongings, آتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, although the worldly belongings, the wealth is dear to man. And to whom he gives? ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى, the relatives, the kith and kin, وَالْيَتَامَى, and the orphans, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and the poor, the needy, وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ, and the traveler, the wayfarer, وَالسَّائِلِينَ, and whosoever asks, وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, and in freeing the people from the bondage of slavery. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, and he establishes salah. Not suffice to say that he prays. No, he establishes salah. وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, and he establishes zakah. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا, and those who fulfill their agreements, their commitments, whenever they make any agreements among themselves. وَالصَّابِرِينَ, and those who have patience and forbearance and perseverance. فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ, in hunger and poverty, and bodily suffering and pain, and at the time of war. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, only such are the people who are true, who are truly sincere, who are truly righteous. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, and only such are the people who are muttaqi in the real sense of the word, who have the right taqwa in them. Now first of all, I draw your attention to four introductory issues regarding this ayah. Number one, this is one ayah of Quran, and it is quite big. And we know that there are ayat in Quran which consist of a single word. Moreover, there are ayat which consist of only letters which are spoken and pronounced separately. Al-Huruful Muqatta'at, Hameen, and it makes an ayah. So small an ayah and so big an ayah. There are so small surahs as Suratul Asr, Suratul Qasr, Suratul Nasr, comprising of three ayat each. And there is the Surah Baqarah, comprising 286 ayat. When we compare Suratul Asr with this Ayatul Birr, this ayat is manifold bigger than the surah, Suratul Asr. What do I intend to stress? This must be borne in mind, that this issue, the ayat and the surahs of Quran, their division, that is not based on any principle of grammar or mantiq, logic. To tell you the basic term about it, these all things are tawqifi. We know them only Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us so. He says, "Wal asr is an ayah." We accept it. It appears to be a single word. And this is an ayah, so big. It contains several complete sentences. Number two, if you compare this ayah with Surah Al-Asr in another way, in Surah Al-Asr we find that four prerequisites have been given for real success of a man. Four conditions for human salvation, you may say it. What are those four conditions? وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Number one. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Number two. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ Number three. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ Number four. These four are the conditions, the basic conditions of success for man according to Quran-e-Hakim. These are the four prerequisites of human salvation. True faith, true iman, number one. Good deeds, number two. Exhorting each other, persuading each other for everything that is right and just. Number three. Exhorting each other and persuading each other for patience and perseverance, number four. These four are the preconditions, the prerequisites for human salvation or success or falah, according to Quran. Now what we find here? The same thing repeated. The same sequence. But we find on every issue there is some detail. Now just see. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ In Surah Al-Asr there was one term Iman. And here is the detail. Iman on what? Belief in what? Faith on what? Five articles of faith. Iman Billah, Iman Bil Malaika, Iman Bil Kutub, Iman Bil Nabiyyin, Iman Bil Yawm Al-Akhir. It appears to me, maybe that it appeals to you also, that is just like a flower. In the beginning, you know, the flower is closed. It has not exfoliated as yet. But when it exfoliates, it opens, the petals appear. So Iman is that flower, that bud of flower, which has not opened as yet. And when it has opened, five petals have appeared. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّ Now what is the second prerequisite of success and falah according to Surah Al-Asr? وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Now look here. It seems that under the big heading of عَمَلِ صَالِح in this ayah we find three subheadings. First of them, the service to humanity. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ Sympathy. Service to humanity. Number two, the modes of worship. حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ This is the second subheading of Amal Salih. Number three, the matters among you, Mu'amalat, and those are based, mostly you may see that on sort of contract, some agreement. The employer-employee relationship is an agreement, a contract. All the big business today is being done on the basis of contract. It may be construction, it may be supply, all contracts. Even marriage is a social contract. All the muamalat among men, they come in this third heading, and that is to fulfill all the agreements that you make. These are the three subheadings of the big heading Amal-e-Saleh, which appears in Surah Al-Asr. Here also, if I give a simile, you find in a tree there is a trunk, and then there are branches. So Amal-e-Saleh as a basic term is very much like the trunk of the tree. And then this trunk, you know, it branches into three. One is the basic human sympathy, service to mankind. Number two, the modes of worship which are imperative for us, which are binding on us. Number three, to behave among ourselves as gentlemen, not to deceive, not to go back upon your words. Fulfill the obligations that you have accepted. That is number three. Now, what is the last thing in Suratul Asr? Tawasi bis sabr. Exhort each other for perseverance, for patience, for forbearance. What is here? وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. Here three occasions have been enumerated, which tests the forbearance and perseverance of a man. Can you bear the hunger for some cause? Can you bear the bodily suffering, the pain? Just imagine when a Sahabi, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Khabbab bin al-Arq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when there were this fire and cinders, they were spread on the earth, and he was made to lie on that fire, burning cinders. He had to bear. That is, فِي الضَّرَّاءِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. When Bilal رضي الله تعالى عنه was made to lie on that burning earth, when the sun was also shedding fire on him, and the last and the final and the topmost and the most difficult occasion for sabr, for steadfastness, for perseverance, is when you are called to go into the battlefield for that cause, risking your life. وَحِينَ al-bas, at the time of war. So, such a close relationship between Suratul Asr and this ayah Bir. And this highlights the basic principle of Quranic exegesis. Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'dahu ba'dha. One part of Qur'an explains the other part. This is a book about which it itself says, kitabam mutashabiham masaniya. This is the book in which the same themes are repeated, but with a difference of style, different words, different perspective. It is kitabam mutashabiham masaniya. So this was the second thing to which I wanted to draw your attention. Now comes the most important. What's the basic issue discussed in this ayah? As we have seen by the translation, it is obvious that it starts with a negation. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. And after that negation, there comes an affirmation. وَلَاكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ آيَةٍ. So main theme, main subject of this ayah is a very basic question. What is birr? What is piousness? What is piety? What is righteousness? What is charity? In reality, because we so often call a deed to be good when it appears to be good. Somebody is giving alms to someone, But we shall say, he is doing a very good thing. But maybe he has a very sinister motive behind it. Somebody is doing something which is very good. But maybe his niyat, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat, that is just to the contrary. His real intention is not good. He has something else in his mind. And then we see among ourselves, there are various standards of charity and piety and righteousness. There are some people amongst us to whom the real piety and real righteousness is the salah and the zakah. We find people amongst ourselves who tell lies, although they do the prayers. There is contradiction in their lives. They are doing those forms of business which are forbidden in Islam. But they are going for pilgrimage, they are going for Hajj also. Such contradictions occur. Then there is the reverse of it. There are people who will say, well, the real piety and righteousness is that you should speak truth. You should do your duty. Whether you say prayers or not, it's not very important. You must have talked to such people. On occasion you must have met such people. Who said this is not real taqwa, this is not real neki, this is not real righteousness that you say prayers. Well, this is personal. This is the private affair of the individual. The real righteousness is that you shouldn't deceive anyone. You should do your duty. You should be true in whatever you are saying. So this is another concept of righteousness. And let me say one thing. I feel that everyone has to have some sort of charity, some sort of good deeds in his life in order to satisfy his conscience. There is something in man. There is something in you which is called stomach. It wants that it should be filled. You have to eat. This is a natural urge. There is the sexual urge. It needs this satisfaction. And there is a natural urge in man to do something good because your conscience demands it. If you look to the worst type of people, you will find that even they have got something by which they can satisfy their conscience. In Indo-Pakistan subcontinent, we see that even the prostitutes, the worst section of our society, they go to the graves of Awliya Allah. And in the month of mourning for Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they join the taziyah processions. They wear the black clothes. They have to satisfy themselves that we are also doing something. Some of them have constructed mosques. There are examples. Because they are also human beings, they have to satisfy their conscience. Although we are very bad, we have gone to the worst level of morality. But we are doing this also. We have done this also. You will find among the thieves, the dacoits, they also do something by the way of charity. The famous dacoits, they give alms to the people. They help widows, help orphans. They do it. They have to satisfy their conscience. So there are different standards and concepts of morality and righteousness in our society. And you will find it everywhere. A person is running a business which is absolutely contrary to Islamic injunctions. But he has established an orphanage also. The orphans are there. He is looking after them. He has to satisfy his conscience that I am doing this good also. In this background, it is very important that one should know which is the right concept of righteousness. What is the real meaning of the word bir? And that is the important issue discussed in this ayah. Now the fourth point, what is the historical background of this ayah? This is very important. This is the topic of this ayah. But what was the occasion for the discussion of this topic in Quran? This we call shan-e-nuzul. In the background of this ayah is the changing of the direction of Qibla. Tahweel-e-Qibla. Our Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina after Hijrah, he prayed facing Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, for full 16 or 17 months. Why? This is interesting. Because when he was at Makkah it was possible that you could face both the Qiblas simultaneously. If you stand on the southern side of Khana Kaaba, between Hajr Aswad and Rukn Yamani, you stand, you face Kaaba, you know by geography that in the same straight line comes Masjid al-Aqsa also. This you can call istiqbalul qiblatain, facing both the Qibla simultaneously. But after Hijrah it was impossible. If you face Kaaba, your back is towards Masjid al-Aqsa. If you face Masjid al-Aqsa, your back is towards Kaaba. Now what to do? Now this is the principle that so long as a new injunction was not revealed to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Quran, he had to obey the former Sharia, the Sharia of Moses alayhi salatu wasalam. So according to that principle, he in his prayers kept facing towards Masjid al-Aqsa. But Kaaba was very dear to him. And he was anxiously waiting for the revelation in Quran, for the injunction, divine injunction. It's very important. Muhammad could not do it himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although he very much wished it. Quran makes it clear, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. We have been looking, we have been seeing, your eyes so often turning towards heavens, towards the sky. In these words is pictured the state of affair, the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was anxiously waiting. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. So now we are going to change your direction of Qibla and make you face towards Kaaba, which you very much love. تَرْضَاهَا. When this ayah was revealed, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his face towards Kaaba. That spot has been kept. Masjid al-Qiblatain, that is the point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone out with some of his companions to a tribe for the lunch. He was invited there. And after the lunch, they were praying Salatul Dhuhr. When this ayah was revealed, And in that very condition, the Prophet ﷺ changed his direction. That spot has been preserved historically. And there is a mosque named Masjidul Qiblatain. On both sides of that mosque there are the mihrabs. So now, there was much of talk about it. The Jews were there, the bitter enemies of Muhammad ﷺ. They made it a point and an issue against Muhammad ﷺ. What type of a prophet he is? He changes his qibla. Just imagine. It's something which is very appealing. What's this? What type of Sharia? Even the Qibla is not fixed. You were facing towards north. Now, O Muslims, you are facing towards south. What would happen to your prayers which we prayed facing to the north if this was the real Qibla? You were mistaken. So some of the simpler type of Muslims, they became perturbed about it. That is why there is discussion of the changing of the direction of Qibla in full two rukus in Quran. The ruku 17 and 18. And there is repeated assurance and repeated insistence from Allah. فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَةً. And this ayah is the last thing. Again, it starts, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. O Muslims, understand it fully. This is not all righteousness. This is righteousness indeed. But this is not all righteousness. Why are you so much perturbed? You should have your eyes fixed on the spirit of righteousness. On the essence of righteousness. Now you know, in every act, in every deed which we perform, there are two aspects. The external form of that action, that deed, and the inner spirit. When you are praying, you are saying your prayers, you are doing those movements with your hands and you are bowing and you are doing ruku and doing sajda and everything. That is the exterior of your salah. And the real essence of your salah is that you have actually a connection in your heart. You have the feeling that you are in the presence of Allah. You have that love of Allah in your heart. If that is not there, this would be a mere hollow action without the real essence in it, without the real spirit in it. So this ayah tells what is the essence of righteousness. What is the real sense of righteousness according to Quran? It depends basically not on the external form of an act. But the more important thing is the spirit with which you are doing that. Your real intentions with which you are performing some act, some deed. وَلَاكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Now we come to the four things, four components of real birr according to this ayah. First of all comes iman. This might appear strange to some people. Because righteousness, for most of us, that is connected with the actions. But here, first of all, of iman, of faith, what is the connection between the two? Actually, iman gives you the motivating force. This corrects the motives with which you are doing some act. You are performing some deed. This is the basic question in ethics. Some of you must have studied ethics. There are two basic questions. Number one, are there any permanent ethical values or not? According to Quran, this issue has not been discussed here, I am only mentioning it. According to Quran, the ethical values are permanent and they are ingrained in human nature. Man knows by his nature what is good, what is bad. What is evil, what is good. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Man is not blind to the ethical values. He knows it. Even when you are telling a lie, you might be justifying your action. But at that very moment, your conscience must be telling you you are doing something wrong. You know it. But the second issue is more important in ethics. What is the motivating force? When you see, if you tell a truth, you stand to lose something. If you tell a lie, you hope to gain something. As Ghalib has said, I am quoting him, in Urdu, جانتا ہوں ثواب طاعت و زہد پر طبیعت ادھر نہیں آتی. I know what is good, what is bad, I know it. But what should I do? I don't feel like doing good. Although I know what is good. This is the crux of the matter. You know what is good, but to know what is good is different, and to do that good, that is absolutely different. So what is the motivating force which would compel you to speak the truth? Although you stand to lose something by telling that truth. Which is that motivating force which will compel you not to tell the lie, although you are seeing that you can gain something. You can have some material gain by telling a lie. That is the real question. Modern philosophy has no basis, no answer to this basic question. You might feel that these people, such big philosophers, such voluminous books on ethics, but you will feel that the whole subject matter contained in them is baseless, because that question of why to be good and why not to be bad, it cannot be answered. There is one theory which you may call the theory of pleasure and happiness. They say that by doing good you get happiness, by doing bad you feel sorry. So that is the motivating force. But this is an absolutely arbitrary thing. Something may be cause of happiness for you, and the same thing can be source of sorrow for the another one. So this is arbitrary. This is relative. The another theory there is utilitarian theory. Whatever is good would prosper. And whatever is bad, that will take you to loss in the long run. Utilitarian theory. But here again the same thing. When someone gains, some other person loses. One nation is gaining something, the other one is definitely losing that thing. So such a principle we should hold fast. For every person, every nation, every given conditions. And that should be a permanent motivating force man has not been able to find by himself. It is only iman. And this iman, basically two things. Iman billah, it gives you the love of God. You do something because Allah loves that good. And out of love for Allah, you are doing it. You have a limited quantity of food with you, and you see, you feel that even your hunger will not be satisfied with this. But you find someone who has nothing to eat, and you share that little also with him. What for? For the love of Allah. Al-khalqu ayalullah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that all this creation, all the creatures, they are like a family to Allah. Family of Allah. This love of God will never fail. This is the positive aspect of this issue. There is a negative aspect also. The fear of the day of judgment. You may add to it the hope of the reward in the life hereafter. And the fear of punishment. If you tell a lie, well, you will be brought to the book for that. You will have to answer. You are accountable for every action that you are doing. Not even actions and deeds. For every word that you utter, you are accountable, you are responsible. وَمَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ Each and every word that you utter, there are those kiraman katibin who are recording it. And you will have to account for it. Now these two things, positive and negative both. Please note this point. This is very important. Sometimes out of ignorance, we emphasize the negative aspect, the fear. And that gives an opportunity to these Christians to criticize us. That Muslims very much emphasize fear of God and fear of the day of judgment. While in Christianity, we invoke the love, the passion of love. This is not because Quran does it. This is because we do it out of ignorance. What Quran says is that the basic motivating force should be the love of Allah. In this very Surah Al-Baqarah, there is the ayah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ This is another definition of iman. This is another criterion of iman. And those who have real faith, they love Allah the most. This is the inevitable result of iman, if it is there. Love of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And Allah loves those who do good deeds. This is the positive motive. And this is the main motivating force which will help you to tell a truth even if you see that you are going to bear a loss due to that truth. And which will prevent you from telling a lie although you know that you will be in trouble if you don't tell a lie. This is the force of iman. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Now there are another aspect of this issue also. According to many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no action, no good deed would be acceptable on the day of judgment unless it is motivated solely and exclusively by the love of Allah. If you have another thing in your mind, if you have some worldly gains before you, that action would be thrown in your face. There is a hadith. When reading it, a man feels like trembling. The Prophet says that on the day of judgment, first of all, three persons will be brought. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of them
would be the one who was martyred in the way of Allah, who was fighting and doing war for the cause of Allah, and he was killed. And in this world, people were calling him Shaheed, martyr. Another one who was a very big alim. And due to him, much of knowledge had spread. And the third one, who was a philanthropist, a wealthy man who spent his wealth for the service of humanity. Allah Ta'ala would ask the one who was said to be martyr and shaheed, I gave you health and bodily power, all the things that I gave to you, what did you do for me? And he would say, Oh Allah, I fought in your way and I laid my life for you so that you be pleased with me. And Allah would say, No, you are lying. You fought only so that people should call you a brave man. He is a very courageous man. إِنَّكَ قَدْ قَاتَلْتَ لِأَنْ يُقَالَ جَرِيٌّ You are fighting not for me, but for showing your bravery. And then Allah would order the angels who will drag him and put him in the hell. The same would be the fate of that alim, and the same would be the fate of that philanthropist, Sakhi. What does it say? That no good deed is acceptable to Allah. No good deed will have any weight in the scale of Allah on the day of judgment, unless it is motivated only by the love of Allah. That is the essence of that famous hadith, Muttafaqun Alayh, with which every muhaddith, nearly every muhaddith, has begun his book, his collection of the ahadith. And according to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the words of the Prophet are, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa. Actions are dependent on the motives with which they are done. And everybody would have only that thing which he had really intended. Actions won't be judged according to the exterior of those actions, external form of the actions, but the real essence. Now after Iman Billah and Iman Bil Akhirah, there is third Iman. And that is Iman Bil Risala, Prophet. Angels bring revelation to the prophets. Books are the record of the revelation. And to whom revelation came, they were the prophets. So, وَلَاكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ These three things go to make the Iman Bil Risala. What is the connection of Iman Bil Risala with this discussion about righteousness and charity? For everything you require a model. There are very many conflicting passions in man, and all the passions are blind. To keep them in balance, it's not easy for every person to do. Sometimes it might happen that the passion of good, that is so much excited, that it crosses the limits, and then it might take up the form of evil, although the intention is good. There is an example. this rahbaniyat, this turning away from this world and worldly affairs and going to some corners and some caves and just worshipping Allah and doing nothing else. Well, this is nothing which can be motivated by something bad. The motivation is good. They want to worship Allah. They want to worship God. They don't want to be disturbed by these worldly affairs. If you have a wife, well, you have to look after her. You have babies, the burden is increasing. You have to earn for them. You have to look after them. Someone is ill today and someone would be ill tomorrow. And you are going here and there. You don't have that calm in you to have a connection with Allah in peace and calmness. So don't marry. Remain single all the life. This is rahbaniya. Nobody can say that the basic motive of this rahbaniya is wrong. But this rahbaniya is wrong. This became an evil. An evil of the first order. Why? Fighting with human nature. This is basic human nature. Maybe that there are certain people who have such strong willpower that they can fight with their nature also, but most of the people can't do. What has been happening in the history of Christianity? These unmarried mothers, they have a long history. And fortunately, they don't conceal it. They have written all the things. Why it happened? Because it was unnatural. It was quarreling and grappling with the basic human nature. So you have to have a model in which all the passions are balanced in a most beautiful manner. There is good in every respect. That balanced model you can have only through the prophets. That sirat-e-mustaqim you can have only through the books of Allah. For that you require, that is the meaning of the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have to have a complete model before you. And the life and the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the best model for you. It is righteousness embodied. It is piety personified. It's charity in the form of a balanced human personality. That is the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So keep it as an idol. The motivating force is provided by the Iman Billah. And the negative aspect of that is provided by Iman Bil Akhirah. And the complete model for that piety and righteousness is provided by Risalah. So these are the three issues which have been discussed first of all before discussing the different deeds of charity, different acts which are good. After this comes now, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. This عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, I told you, mostly these words have been translated out of love for Allah. But this issue has already come under the heading of Iman Billah. The motivating force has to be the love of Allah. And secondly, this harf-e-jar, this preposition, ala. Ala in Arabic is used for something against, not in favor. Ala hubbehi. Despite the love of wealth which man has in his nature. Quran is very plain. It tells the plain truths. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهْوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الزَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. These things are dear to man. Man loves wealth. Man loves to have worldly belongings. Now if you are struggling against this urge in you and you spend your beloved wealth for pleasing Allah, this is charity. This is righteousness. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. The pronoun, the zamir, he, that goes, that refers to mal. عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ الْمَالِ. Now this is very important issue. We know that in our deen, first and foremost comes prayers, about which it has been said, As-salatu imadu deen. This salah is the pillar of our deen. But here what we find is that salat is mentioned afterwards. And before even salah comes the issue, which I said that it comes under the heading of service to humanity, service to mankind, the sympathy. You should feel within you the pain, the suffering which a fellow man is having. This is sympathy. First of all, as far as the deeds are concerned, the actions are concerned, first of all comes that sympathy, that his service to humanity. If that is there, bir is there. If that is not there, bir is not there. One might be a very muttaqi person. One might be a big alim. One might be a mufassir of Quran. One might be a muhaddis. But he won't be called righteous unless he has the sympathy of human beings in his heart. I am saying something which is very big. But I have all the grounds with me on the basis of which I am saying these words. You can be an alim. You can be zahid. You can be abid. You can be mufassir. You can be mufti. You can be muhaddis. You can be faqih. But you won't be able to be nek unless you have that basic quality of feeling and experience within your own self, the pain of your fellow brothers. The first ayah of fourth part of Quran, which most of you must be remembering, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot achieve that bir, that position of bir, unless you spend that which is beloved to you, most dear to you, not giving in the way of Allah that which you don't like, but which you like, which you love most. If you give that in the cause of Allah, then you will be bir, otherwise you're لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. You don't achieve. And this negation by these words, lan in Arabic, most emphatic denial. Lan tanarul birra. It's impossible for you to achieve that position of bir unless you can spend in the way of Allah what is most dear to you. If you want another argument from Quran, just remember in your mind Surah Al-Balad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerates many bounties which He has bestowed upon man. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجَدَيْنِ فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ. We have given this to Him. We gave this to Him. We bestowed upon him this bounty of ours, but he couldn't cross that high valley, Aqaba. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْأَقَبَى. Do you know which is that high valley, the difficult valley to cross? فَكُّ رَقَبَةٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةٍ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَةٍ. to free some slave from the bondage of slavery, to feed some orphans or the poor. In the days of famine, when it becomes hard for your own self, the orphans or the masakeen, this is that high and difficult valley which man doesn't cross. If he crosses this, ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. This word ثُمَّ here is very important. If you can pass, if you can cross this high valley, then the way is open for you for iman and tawasi bil sabr and tawasi bil haq, tawasi bil marhama. But this is the difficult part of it, because wealth is very dear to man. So here in this ayah, how important is it that the mention of salat has been deferred? And first of all comes وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Now I don't have time at my disposal to give you brief description and brief detail about all these six headings. There are six headings, and they have been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. They are very important. And the sequence and the order of preference there that has been given, that is very important. Al-aqrab of al-aqrab. Whosoever has been mentioned first, his rights come first. But I don't have time now. I go to the second part. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. Having crossed this high and difficult valley, now the second thing is, the second manifestation of that spirit of good, that would be as-salah wa-zakah. You establish that prayer, you establish the system of prayer. Not only you pray, you establish the system of prayer. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. And you pay that poor due, that welfare tax, you may call it. But it's not a tax levied by any person, any man. It's a mode of worship. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. I would only refer to the logical connection between these things. You know, only two things have been mentioned up till now. Iman and to spend one's own wealth for the welfare of humanity. Now to keep Iman alive, the best and the most effective thing is Salah. By the system of prayers, you are renewing your faith. You are rejuvenating your faith and Iman. In every rakat of your Salah, you recite Suratul Fatiha. And what is Suratul Fatiha? It is Suratul Iman. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Your faith in Allah has been revived, rejuvenated, revitalized. You say Malike Yawmiddin. Your Iman in Yawmil Akhirah, your faith in the Day of Judgment is renewed, it's revived. And when you say Iyyaka Na'budu Wa Iyyaka Nasta'een, that agreement with Allah, that Ahad Wahda, that is renewed. Oh Allah, we'll worship Thee and Thee only, and we'll seek Thy help only. So what is this? This is a renewal of the faith. I can't help quoting a beautiful couplet from Hafiz Jalandhari in Urdu. I apologize to brothers who don't follow Urdu. It's a beautiful couplet. Sarkashi ne kar diye dhundle nuqush-e bandagi, aao sajde mein gire lohe jabin taaza kare. What is this sajda? You are renewing your faith. What is this salah? This is the revitalization of your faith, your iman. For iman, for the vitality of iman, salat has been prescribed. For keeping the spirit of spending in the way of Allah, zakat has been prescribed. At least this much you have to pay. Even though you might be miserly, but you have to pay this. This is binding upon you. In this way it is hoped, it can be hoped, that the seal of miserliness on your heart may be removed. You know, in physics, you differentiate between the dynamic friction and the static friction. When something is standing, you try to move it, you will require more force. But if it is moving already, you will push slightly and it will be accelerated. So the friction by zakah, that standing friction, you are not ready to spend in the way of Allah. Well, by zakah, that static friction is removed. Now your spending, it has had a start, and it is hoped that you will go give more, more and more. And that is what the Prophet ﷺ said. I wonder whether this hadith is known to you or not. It's very important. إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ لَحَقًّا سِوَ الزَّكَاةِ. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't be mistaken. That the only haqq of Allah in your maal, in your belongings, is zakah, and that's all. You have paid the zakah and you think that you have done all your duties. No. إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ لَحَقًّا سِوَ الزَّكَاةِ. In your belongings, in your wealth, Allah's right is much more than zakah. And for that, the Prophet ﷺ quoted this very ayah. Because here zakat is mentioned differently. And آتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. This is separate. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. This is separate. So this is the basis for that saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ لَحَقًّا سِوَ الزَّكَاةِ. Now you come to the third aspect. The good in deed, in action. The third manifestation of that spirit of goodness in you. If Allah has bestowed upon you, that would be وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. And those who fulfill their commitments, their obligations, when they have entered into any agreement, into any contract. As I told you, all our dealings within ourselves, the human dealings, most of them they are based on contracts. I told you, marriage is a social contract. Man has certain rights and he has to perform certain duties. Wife has certain rights and she has to perform certain duties. When a man and a woman enter into an agreement of marriage, they take upon themselves the duties as man, the duties as woman. So, you have to fulfill your duty. The employer-employee relationship is an agreement. All the business is based on contracts and agreements. All the positions of power in nation has placed you in some position of power and authority. It has given in your hands so many things you can do. Now, this is an agreement with the nation. And you say, then always you raise your right hands and then you take the oath of office. You bind yourself with certain things. If you contravene, that is going to be against that agreement that you have done, in which you have entered. So this is وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. When you have entered into an agreement, you have made a contract, you have to fulfill it. No going back. The Prophet ﷺ himself was instructed when he felt that the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen, they are not binding themselves with the terms they had accepted at Hudaybiyah, and the Prophet had a feeling that we should go to war with them, there was the ayah, فَمْبِزْ عَلَيْهِمْ عَلَىٰ سَوَىٰ. You have an agreement, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with them. So if you have to take any action because you feel they are doing something wrong, then first of all, you throw their muahida in their face. You make a pronouncement to that effect. And then you can take any step. Not that keep the agreement there, keep the treaty there, and do something against them. That is not required. So, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. When the terms of that muahida, Sulh Hudaybiyah, they had been written, Abu Jandal, a companion of the Prophet, he came. And he requested, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't leave me to the mercy of these kuffar and mushrikeen. They are persecuting me like anything. But the Prophet said, Ya Abu Jandal, O Abu Jandal, we have made the commitment. Our hands are bound. So you have to have patience and forbearance. Allah will make some way for you. I can't do. I have already entered into the agreement with these people of Makkah. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. And last of all now, what I would call, this is the climax, the crux of the matter. This is the peak, as the Prophet says, ذَرْوَةُ السَّلَامِ مِنْهُ. There is a very beautiful saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَنَامٌ وَسَنَامُ الْقُرْآنِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. Everything has a climax, a height of it, the peak, the top, and the height, and the peak, and the climax of Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. Now this ayah, the climax is now coming. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. The type of persons which Islam wants are not like those that Buddhism creates. You are meek of heart. Be careful. Not even an insect should be trampled by your feet. This is another philosophy. Islam gives another version of birr and taqwa and righteousness and piety. Fight for the cause of Allah. You challenge the evil. Not just go away and leave this world for the evildoers. You go to the corners. You retire to the caves, to the monasteries, and this world should be left over for the evildoers. No. The concept of charity in Islam is basically different. Piety, taqwa, righteousness, neki in Islam has an absolutely different direction. You may call it, this is the concept of a militant piety. This word is being used very much these days, militant. There's no doubt Islam gives you a concept of militant piety. Those who take upon themselves this character, who believe in Allah, who believe in the life hereafter, who believe in the Day of Judgment, who believe in the Prophets, who believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who believe in the books and who believe in Quran, who are the true servants to humanity, who give away their wealth for the benefit and welfare of humanity, who establish salah in their life, who pay the zakah regularly, who fulfill their obligations, their commitments, these people should organize themselves. They should become a power, a force in this world. They should uphold the banner of good. whatever is good. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ They should give commands for what are good. And they should prevent people from doing bad. This is another role, an absolutely different role. This is not the role adopted by the Christian missionaries or the Buddhist bhikshus. Those Buddhist bhikshus are some different type of personality. The Christian missionaries are different type of people. Islam wants to make every Muslim a mujahid. He must exert himself for the cause of Allah. What is supreme good is the law of Allah. He is the owner of this earth and only His law should be established here, enforced on it. This is adl and everything contrary to it, that is zulm, that is injustice, that is fitna, that is baghawat, that is revolt against the rightful monarch of this world, al-malik al-quddus. So now, these people, a sketch of whose character you have seen in these words. This is the full human personality which appears in this ayah. There is iman in their heart, a belief, a living belief, a personal conviction in the existence of Allah and His attributes. And the day of judgment, and the angels, and revelation, and the books, and the prophets. Then they are not greedy. They don't love wealth. They have the courage to spend in the way of Allah. And they have the courage to give away their wealth to the needy, to those who are in trouble. And also for the cause of Allah. The biggest example of which, the biggest personification of which is Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Gave away everything. Then these people, they won't take the evil lying down. They will resist. They will fight it out. They will challenge the forces of evil. And for that purpose, they have to be organized. They must be a disciplined force. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ Allah loves those only who fight in His way as if they are a reinforced structure. There can be no break in their ranks. So this is the highest point. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ You may say it, it's not passive neki, it's not passive bir, it is active bir. It doesn't retreat to the corners or the caves or the monasteries. This bir, this khair, this taqwa, this righteousness, this piety, it challenges the forces of evil, fights them out. Even though in this process they have to bear hunger. They have to bear hardships. They might have to leave their homes and hearts. The Sahaba Ikram did it. They left their homes and hearts. They laid down their lives. They gave away all their belongings. They faced all the persecution. They were persevering. They were standing fast, bearing everything, having patience. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ When this word basa, this is plural. In Arabic, when it is in plural, it means poverty and hunger. When it is singular, bas means war. فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ In the face of hunger and poverty, In the face of bodily suffering and pain, as we came to know yesterday, that brother Hussain Shahrastani was tortured. His limbs were cut. What was done to Hazrat Sumayya رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, to Yasir رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ, both martyred after the worst persecution, the worst type of torture which Abu Jahl gave them. What was being done to Bilal, to Khabbab bin al-Arq, and when a companion of the Prophet, he was hanged with a tree, tied to a tree, and everyone wanted to revenge, take his revenge from him, of the defeat of Badr. When some spear pierced through his liver, he said, "Fuztu wa Rabbi Kaaba." By the Allah of Kaaba, by the God of Kaaba, I have succeeded. Well, this is their role. It must be differentiated. The basic concept is absolutely different. You must keep in your view the examples of the Buddhist monks, the Buddhist bhikshus. They are a different type of personality altogether. The Christian missionaries and the companions of the Prophet. Different. But our ideal, for our, the model is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba-e-Kiram and his companions. And that is the أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Such are the people, only they are those who are true in the real sense of word. They are truthful. They are sincere. They are really righteous. They are really pious. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And listen, they are the ones whom you should understand that they are the God-fearing in the right sense of the word. This is the description. This is the definition as to who is a muttaqi in the real sense of the word. It has to be adopted in toto. That is the essence of this ayah.
Dear brothers and sisters, please note our contact for audio and video speeches of Dr. Star Ahmed. Maktaba Khuddamul Quran, Quran Academy, 36 K Model Town, Lahore, Pakistan. Phone 9242-586-9501, 586-9502 and 586-9503. Fax 583-4000. Our website address is www.tanzeem.org. You can send your emails on info@tanzeem.org. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the understanding of Islam and give us the courage to act upon it. Ameen.